This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, it's all but certain that the Paris Agreement on climate change will come into force by the end of the year. African leaders tell the General Assembly every day counts in the battle to save lives and the environment. And Nigeria aims high to become the first country to reach the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. But first, let's highlight a few of the speeches made by African leaders during the opening week of the high-level debate here at UN headquarters. The president of Chad has described terrorism as the threat of the century facing Africa. Extremists, including those belonging to the Boko Haram terrorist group, have destabilized much of the Lake Chad Basin, triggering a humanitarian crisis. Daniel Dickinson reports.
The UN says there are more than 9 million people across the Lake Chad region who need humanitarian assistance. Almost one in three people suffer from moderate to severe food insecurity in areas impacted by Boko Haram violence. Addressing world leaders in his speech to the United Nations General Assembly, President Idris Deby said terrorism could spread across Africa. He spoke through an interpreter.
Africa today is bearing the full brunt of terrorism, the threat of the century. Somalia, Libya, Mali, the Lake Chad Basin, the Sahel as a whole are seriously destabilized, and the danger is threatening to spread throughout the entire continent.
The UN continues to provide aid to Chad. Last week, the United Nations Emergency Relief Coordinator, Stephen O'Brien, approved the allocation of $10 million from the UN Central Emergency Response Fund to bolster humanitarian operations there. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
And Africa can manage its own development agenda if the scourge of illicit financial flows is stopped. That's according to the president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, as the first day of the general debate got underway in New York. Jocelyn Sambira reports from there.
The UN and the African Union estimates that illicit financial flows out of Africa could be as much as $50 billion a year. Jacob Zuma, the South African president, told world leaders at the UN that if those flows are stopped, the continent could implement its own development.
Illicit financial flows deprive developing countries of the much-needed economic resources to uplift their economies in order to provide infrastructure and basic services such as education and health care. We urge the world at large to treat this problem with the seriousness and urgency that it deserves.
President Zuma also repeated his call for greater African representation on the UN Security Council, saying that 1 billion people cannot continue to be denied a voice in this manner. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Well, what once seemed impossible in terms of bringing a global climate change agreement into force is now inevitable, according to the UN Secretary General. Ban Ki-moon was speaking at a high-level event on the entry into force of the Paris Agreement, which was agreed by more than 190 states last December. Countries have pledged to develop national plans which will limit global temperature rises caused by carbon emissions to less than 2 degrees Celsius. And African states are on the front line to cut emissions before it's too late.
I'm proud to say that we were the first country in the world to ratify the Paris Agreement on climate change.
A video montage of world leaders beamed into the General Assembly Hall, adding to a cautious mood of celebration that a complex global treaty could become a reality before the year's end. The UN chief laid out the figures, saying that with 60 parties now ratifying the treaty as of Wednesday morning, all that was needed to bring it into force were pledges from a few more countries, representing 7.5% of global carbon emissions.
What once seemed impossible is now inevitable. I'm confident that by the time I leave office, the Paris Agreement will have entered into force. It will mark a new era of global cooperation. It will help accelerate efforts to protect the poor and the most vulnerable from increasing climate impact.
Several major polluters are signalling that their legislatures will join the agreement within weeks. But Secretary of State for the United States, John Kerry, said that with record high temperatures being set month after month, there was no time to lose. Many of those countries already feeling the worst impact of climate change are in Africa. The president of Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari, used his address to the UN General Assembly to draw attention to the environmental crisis faced by the inhabitants of the Lake Chad Basin. Rising temperatures, along with Boko Haram terrorist fighters, have wreaked havoc across the region, and the lake has been shrinking steadily over two decades. President Buhari said replenishing it should be an urgent international priority.
The means of livelihood of an estimated 30 million inhabitants of the Lake Chad Basin spread across Cameroon, Chad, Niger, Nigeria are being severely threatened. The cost of replenishing the lake has been put at $14 billion United States dollars under a five-year plan which should be accorded global attention.
And the president of Malawi, Peter Mutharika, also put climate change at the center of his speech to world leaders, saying that real souls were suffering in developing countries everywhere as a result of environmental degradation.
When you speak of addressing the climate change problem, let us remember that there are real souls suffering the effects out there. We as a country will do our duty to humanity. I will sign the Paris Agreement on climate change here at the new headquarters. Malawi has already adopted a climate change policy. We shall guide domestic implementation of the Paris Agreement.
Mr. Ban highlighted the meeting of the Montreal Protocol in Kigali, Rwanda, next month as another significant event in the battle against climate change. He urged those attending to reach global consensus on phasing down so-called HFC greenhouse gases. Nigeria aims to become the first country to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, within a period of 14 years, according to the head of a Nigerian-based power and energy corporation. Food security is a critical issue in the West African nation, where smallholder farming accounts for the majority of food production, and up to 60% of food is lost or wasted because of storage and transportation problems. Tonyi Coyle, executive director and co-founder of the Sahara Group, has been instrumental in developing the Food Africa programme with the government of Nigeria and the UN SDG Fund. Mr. Coyle sat down with Jocelyn Sambira on the margins of the UN General Assembly.
We have a lot of waste. 40 to 60% of post-harvest waste in agriculture is wasted, just gone. And so what the SDG Fund and Sahara is doing is looking at this project, seeing how we can reduce that waste, create the value from on-site processing, and take that value back to the farmers. So we're addressing poverty, we're addressing inequality with women, because you have a lot of women who do the farming, but you have a lot of problems with that, so you're doing that. You're addressing food and starvation. We're also imputing education, because we're then teaching them also on how to farm better, how to use language and how to use mathematics and all of that to improve their knowledge of economics. So, quite a bit.
A continent like Africa, where you always read about problems of hunger, it's hard to understand where the food waste comes in.
Yep.
Can you please explain a little?
So, one of the greatest problems you have is infrastructure. Getting the time it takes to get food from harvest all the way into markets, and not just the markets on the roadside, but actual markets where they can get value, takes too long. Once they've harvested and they move that product from the farm into the city, most of it has gone to waste. You have to move it very quickly. We decided that we will teach them how to do processing right on the farm. And so if you take a basket of tomatoes, for example, you can make it into a puree right at the farm, and you can do it in real basic ways. The minute you make a puree out of it and you air seal it in a mayonnaise jar, what you've done is that you've changed the shelf life of that basket of tomatoes from less than 2 weeks to well over 3 months, well over. And that way, in the cycles when tomatoes no longer are in season, the farmers can then come out and begin to sell tomatoes in puree form, and they make the difference in value.
How has your experience working in Nigeria shaped your interest in working on issues in development?
Nigeria has been a place where we've done a lot of work with or without government assistance. And in seeing the development that the Sahara Group has had to do, working with a lot of young people that have only a burning passion to make a difference, to create something from nothing, once we began to see that you have this potential and all you needed to do was just give them a platform to believe in themselves and they can come up with such extraordinary things. And that's exactly, it's our story. Our story, that's exactly what we did.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.